Okay, continuation of yesterday's piece. Okay, so the Rebbe says, let's go back to what we mentioned above. Right? He had this little diversion at the end yesterday. He told us about why is it that when it comes to doing mitzvos, hider mitzvah is ad shlish. You can add a third. Because two-thirds of your life you got from your mother and father. But the one-third that you got from Hashem, that's where there's room for us to try to enhance. All right, that's Ze Eliv Anveyo. This is my God, and I will glorify him. That's the part that I can be most of to. Okay, so let's go back. So he says, Nachzor la nizkor la'el. Let's go back to our main idea, which is that there's two different types of amuna and two different types of ava and yira within a person. Tamid yeshnan lanu b'nei Yisrael ava v'yira l'Hashem. There is always within us, within every Jew, there's always ava, there's always yira. V'tamid yeshlanu amuna, there's always amuna. V'hein be'achreach lanu me'avoseinu. And that is, again, of necessity, that was sort of stamped upon us by our avos. At she'isa b'gemara, to such a degree that the Gemara even has a comment, as quoted by the Ein Yaakov, it doesn't appear in our regular Gemara, as in Brachos Samach Gimel, but in the Ein Yaakov, which is a collection of the Agaritas, from the Gemara, it has this famous line. It's an amazing line. Ganva apum machtarta rachmana kari. Ganva, a ganav, apum machtarta, at the pum, at the entrance of the tunnel, rachmana kari, calls out to Hashem. In other words, in the strangest of ways, a person who's a Jewish robber, as he's about to break into someone's home, he says, Rabbono Sholom, please help me to be matzliach, that I shouldn't get arrested, that I should find a lot of things to steal, that I should have tremendous success. So that's a very weird type of tefillah. You're asking Hashem to help you to commit a crime. But there's a latent amuna in a person. That's what this chazal, it's an amazing chazal. That a ganav, as he steals, he asks for siyata d'shraya. Kol kach achreichi oslo. His amuna is of such essential self. It's such a necessary part of his being. Acha filu b'shasha holich lignov. V'over al losa say. As he's about to steal and violate an isser in the Torah. He still prays to Hashem, Hashem, I need your help that I shouldn't get caught. It's an amazing Maamar Chazal. And that's all of us. This is a very important. This is like every day of our life, you know? We're back and forth between the world of, I want to be a good Jew, but I also do averos. Right? But this highlights almost, and you could laugh at this ganav. You could poke fun and say, you're an absurd person. You're a massive hypocrite. But what Chazal are revealing to us is that even in our hypocrisy, even though I sometimes do really bad averos, sometimes I'm a big tzaddik, okay, that's you know, the goal is to nurture the part of myself that's the real me, and to move farther away from the averos, which is not me, that's a ruach shtus, it's a spirit of folly, it's not who I really am. It's amazing, that's how deeply ingrained it is in a person.
Yeah, but do we like unconsciously ask Hashem for like help with us doing averos?
Probably. When we do wrong things, sometimes we also want to get away with it. We don't want to get caught. We don't want people to know. That's part of a tefillah in you know, b'shas avera. I don't know. It's a strange thing. It's a very strange thing. But you believe, because b'emes you believe. That's right. I'm a bal taiva and I do stupid things and nichnas bo ruach shtus, you know? I'm overcome by a spirit of stupidity sometimes. But that's not who I am. So even at the moment where superficially I'm doing an isser, b'pnimius, b'omek halev, I'm a mammon. It's an amazing idea. But what the Rebbe's trying to say, I think, to these Jews, again, in 1942, is that you are believers. You believe in Hashem. And there are probably people around him who are saying, we've given up on Hashem after what we've gone through. And he's saying, it's not true. It's impossible in your heart of hearts to give up on Hashem. Raksha b'sha she'ein ha'ish mosif aleihen hein bilti noda aslo. But at a time when a person doesn't work on his amuna, if he doesn't nurture his amuna, so it's not known to him. It lies dormant inside of him. U'kisha mosif aleihen, but when he adds to it, misgalo slo u'margish osan. It reveals itself and he feels it. So again, we're always connected. It's just a question of how much we're feeling it. We have to work hard if we want to feel it. In terms of baseline connection, it's always there. But if we want to feel it, we have to put in the effort. And in addition to what a person needs to, you know, prepare himself in terms of his avoda, in addition to, again, to working on amuna, working on my avas Hashem, and my avas Yisrael, working on my yira shemayim, working on my amuna, working on having more godly presence in my life, tzvichim gam lischazkus v'simcha kedei lezakos letosefes hashra. Because as we learned yesterday, there's a strong relationship between what? The fact that every one of us is secretly lovers of Hashem, believers in Hashem, right? We're also secretly what? Prophets. There's a hidden trace of prophecy in each one of us. And therefore, just like prophecy comes with the prerequisite of what? Being b'simcha. So I also have to work on what? Hischazkus b'simcha. I need to be mechazik myself to try to be b'simcha. Because if I'm b'simcha, then I'm tapping into my hidden wellsprings of nevuah. And when I'm b'simcha, I'm able to have greater access to my emunah, to my ava, to my yira. So the Rebbe is trying to lift the people's spirits. He's saying, you're telling me you're not feeling it. I understand you're not feeling it. You're telling me that you're sad and broken. I understand why you're sad and broken. Right? You'll see the Rebbe's going to shift gears in a moment. He's going to say, and there's a way to even get nevuah when you're sad and depressed. Which is an amazing chiddush. But right now he's trying to be mechazik the people. If you want to be able to feel what I'm telling you is absolutely true inside of you, you need to build yourselves up. Give me one more second. Lachein be'eis sarach mana letzlan. So when we're in a period of such pain, hein anu b'srashlus v'rifyon, and we're in a state of hisrashlus, of weakening, of rifyon, where we feel like we've lost the drive, we've lost the inspiration, we've lost the connection. But God forbid to think you don't believe. Has milahazkir. Be quiet from saying such a thing. Don't mention such a thing. It's not true. Don't say that you're not. Don't say I don't believe anymore. Don't say it because it's not true. Kulam ma'aminim ba'Hashem. Rak she'ein margishim es ha'amuna ves havada'os ha'mizgala al yadam. It's simply that you don't feel it and you're not able to tap into the vadai, into that sense of certainty that reveals itself when a person works on his amuna, where he's able to declare it and feel it and express it, you know, and live it with such absolute clarity. Yeah.
You're already saying that like, our default position is amuna. So
right.
Everything we do, we get back to amuna. So
right.
How do you work on your amuna?
How do you work on your amuna?
Because if you're saying that like, you have to work on your amuna, but
right, what does it mean to nurture and to work on one's amuna? You know, what do you think?
Regardless of what you do in any situation, you're only going to get back to
right.
Start a status of amuna. So
again, I think the simplest you know way to explain it based on what we're learning is that there's hidden and revealed. Right? Hidden in the Muna means in my heart of hearts, I know that everything that Hashem does is from Hashem and is for the best, etc., etc. To work on that is to spend more time talking to Hashem. To spend more time saying thank you, Hashem. Spend more time saying Gamza Latova, for spending more time thinking about Hashem. Right? So again, it's always there. Right? The same way that you know my connection to Torah is always there. But the goal is to try to learn more, right? And to spend more time involved in it. But it's always there. That's what the Rebbe's trying to tell the people. You have to know that it's always there. It's always, always there. There's no such thing as a Jew who doesn't believe in Hashem. There's a Jew who can feel he doesn't believe in Hashem. That's a real thing. But there's no Jew in his heart of hearts who does not believe in Hashem. U'Moshe Rabbeinu sha'amar la'Hashem. So now we have to ask a question on our biggest fan, our greatest leader. How did Moshe Rabbeinu say the Jews are not going to believe? Come on, Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone knows that, right? We know. We're not such big tzaddikim or big talmidei chacham. We're regular guys. And we know that in the heart of every Jew is emunah. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu slander the Jewish people? The hein lo yaminu li. They're not going to trust me. They're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu b'koli ki yomru lo nira elecha Hashem. They're going to say, nah, Hashem never appeared to you. Lo sharaya mehemna. It's not that the faithful shepherd, it's a fancy way of saying Moshe Rabbeinu, Dibur Chas V'Chalila Sara Al Yisrael. It's not God forbid, Chas V'Shalom, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu saying, these Jews are no good, they'll never believe me. Moshe Rabbeinu was actually what? Was pointing out a deep truth, and he was being melamed zchus on us. He was actually defending us. Va'amar shekol kach godla tzarasam ad she'emunasam nisrofafa biyadam. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Hashem, the Jewish people, right? It's not that they're not going to believe, right? But they're not going to. They're not. Their amuna has become so crushed from their suffering in Mitzrayim that their amuna is weakened. Nisrofa biyadam. Of course they're ma'aminim, but their amuna is only, you know, feebly experienced. It's not something that they can feel in a strong, clear way on the surface. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is advocating on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, what am I going to be able to do to help them to feel it? I know they believe in their hearts, but how am I going to get them to say it on their lips? So Hashem says back, let me tell you how we're going to heal the Jews. Because you're right, their amuna on the surface is very weak right now. In their heart of hearts, of course, it's very strong. So Hashem says, we'll do some tricks. We'll make some signs. If the first two signs don't work, you do your snake trick and you do your hand in the shirt trick. If that's not working, so take some water from the Nile River, throw it down onto the dry land. And that water, that cup of water that you took from the Nile, will turn to blood on dry land. And Hashem says, if the first two tricks and signs don't work, this one for sure will work. Why? Shall be pashut ma ulma dehay mofes ha'achron. What was the ulma? Ulma means what? Like called the olim gavar. You know that term from Bava Metzia? Called the olim gavar. Let the stronger one win. Olim. Right? Ulma means strength. So what was the strength of this final mofes, of this final sign of pouring the water onto the dry land that, oh, for sure they're going to believe this? Why? Says the Rebbe, maybe they won't believe this either. In behem lo yaminu, if they didn't believe the first two tricks, yachol yos shagam bezeh lo yaminu. Maybe they're not going to believe this one either. If they're so broken that they're not open to being wowed by Moshe Rabbeinu's signs or tricks, so then, what makes you think the third one's going to work? It's pretty cool if you can, turn a snake into a staff into a snake. It's pretty cool if you can make your hand turn white with tzaras. There's all sorts of tricks. Watch this one. We're going to take water from the Nile. We're going to pour it on the sand. And look, it's going to turn to blood. Oh, now we believe that you actually spoke to God. Maybe he's just a magician like the rest of these Egyptian phonies. Like Paro, like Paro's Chevra. Aval Isa b'medrash Rabbah. But says the Medrash about Avram Avinu's encounter with the angels. When Avram Avinu saw angels in the appearance of human beings, Amar ve'emani roa osam cholkin kavod elu la'elu. This is an amazing Medrash. Avram says, if I see that they give honor to one another, yodeya ani shehem b'nei adam mehuganim, then I know they're good guys. If they respect each other, then I know they're good guys. Chava, listen to what the Rebbe says on the next page. It's so inspiring, and it's also so sad if you try to figure out what maybe he's talking about. You have to understand how desperate the situation is. If you don't love yourself, I'll say it in one sentence. If you don't love and respect yourself, it's very hard to love and respect other people. If you don't love and respect yourself, it's very hard for you. If you don't have self-respect, it is very hard for you to see the good in other people. Because if you've trained yourself to not believe in yourself, so then you don't believe in anyone. And then eventually you don't believe in anything. Says the Rebbe, this is a very important psychological bin odom l'chaveiro truth. V'zehu klal, top of the page, Reish Nun Ches. Zehu klal gadol hein pashut ba'olam. This is the simple rule of life in this world. Mi she'eno ish. A person who's not a person. If you're not a mensch, you don't respect yourself. Ve'enu margish bekirbo anoshius. And this is so much what Paro did, yimach shemo, to the Jews in Mitzrayim. This is so much what Hitler, yimach shemo, and all of the Nazis, yimach shemo, did to the Jewish people in the Holocaust. When you rob a person of their humanity, when the person doesn't feel like a person, then everything falls apart. If a person doesn't feel like a mensch, When my life has been totally wrecked, so I don't care what happens here. I can't even process. It doesn't even register by me. When I see you suffering, when I see you going through a difficulty, I've become so broken. I don't even know what a normal life looks like anymore. Umishu ish umargesh anoshios bekirbo. But a person who's an ish, a person who's a mensch, a person who carries himself with a little self-respect, gam es chavero marach leish umachabdo. He looks at other human beings and he treats them like human beings. And it could be the other person doesn't, right? Meaning, if you carry yourself with a sense of menschlichkeit, if you treat yourself with respect and you love yourself and you see the good in yourself, so you could see a person who he himself doesn't believe in himself, but you look at him and you see the good in him. If you're a person who carries himself with pride, with a sense of purpose, with a sense of distinction, simply because you're created B'Tselem Elokim, so you could see some drunk homeless guy in the corner and you could see the good in him. Why? Because you believe in people, you believe in humanity. You don't see the surface of him, you see the spark within him. You see B'Tselem Elokim. B'gam b'inyan amuna tzadikim kacho. The Rebbe says the same thing is true when it comes to tzadikim. I don't know. Again, maybe in a deep, subconscious, humble way, the Rebbe is talking about himself. Certainly we can apply this to how people probably saw this Rebbe who keeps trying to be mechazik, 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 mechazik. But the same thing is true when it comes to believing in tzaddikim. What does that mean? La tzaddikim yesh yoser emunah tzaddikim. Tzaddikim believe in other tzaddikim more than regular people. You know why? Why is it when you see, you know, two tzaddikim get together, right? And they hardly have to say anything to each other, and you just feel like they're, wow, you know? You see a video of Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Yashiv. You know? You see a video of, Kluger and Ravitcher Meyer. You see videos of tzaddikim sitting together, you know? Interacting, and you see how much they respect each other. So why do they believe so much in each other? You know why? Because they believe in themselves. When a tzaddik knows I'm a tzaddik, I know from my own experience that there's such an Indian as a tzaddik. And then when I meet another tzaddik, it's like, I believe this person's a real tzaddik. How do you know there's even such a thing as a tzaddik? What do you mean? I know it from my own personal experience. How do I know the drunken bum on the corner is a human being? Because I know that I'm a human being. I've experienced my own humanity, so I can respect someone else. So tzaddikim believe in other tzaddikim. They have greater emunah tzaddikim. Maybe they should gam bekirba margishim tzidkus, because they feel tzidkus inside of themselves. V'hagarua biyoser. If Nesha ain't bekirbo tzidkus, but a lowly person who himself has moved away from his own self-righteousness, gam betzadikim in oman. Just like he doesn't believe he can be a tzaddik, v'amech kulam tzaddikim, he doesn't believe in tzaddikim bechlal. He doesn't respect tzaddikim. V'amar Moshe l'kadosh baruch hu, hein yeshna amuna bekarav Yisrael miavoseyam. So Moshe, what's Moshe really saying to Hashem? He's not slandering us, chas v'shalom. Moshe says, I know the Jewish people have emunah in their hearts as part of their spiritual inheritance. Aval kevan shemigodol hatzaris emunasam tmuna bekirbam. Ve'ena margishim osa, but because it's so deeply buried in them that they can't feel it. Ve'kevan she'emunah nitzutz hishtalshulis nevuahi. And therefore, just like emunah, we said, is somehow part of the devolving of nevuah, it's related to a spark of nevuah inside of ourselves. Lachain af sheba Hashem ma'aminim mikol makom li lo yishmo ki yomru lo nira elecha Hashem. In other words, now I'm an outsider. Yes, every Jew, deep, deep, deep down in his heart, believes, right? But if they can't feel that on the surface, if they can't feel that what? That they're prophets, they're not going to believe I'm a prophet. If they can't feel their emunah, they're not going to have emunah in me. That's the rule. To the degree that you feel it, you've experienced it within, so then I can believe it by someone else. But if I've never tasted it, if I've never tasted holiness, so when I'm in the presence of a holy person, I don't believe in them. I don't believe it. How do I know that's a real thing? If you've tasted it, so then I know it's a real thing. Right? If you've experienced it, you know it's a real thing. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave signs. B'nasan lo Hashem al zeh osos. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu signs. Lo rak l'simen bilvad. Ragam leromim esrucham bezeh. Not just as proofs. You can do tricks. A lot of Egyptians can do tricks. It was the center of Kishuf. It was the epicenter of black magic. So what do you mean he can do tricks? The tricks were to what? Leromim esrucham, to lift their spirits. Bezeh sheyiru sheyeshuasim kvar mascheles, that they should believe that what? That salvation has begun. So he showed Bnei Yisrael a couple of tricks, and Hashem says, they might work, they might not work. But I'm going to tell you one that for sure is going to work. Which one is for sure going to work? V'haya im lo ya'aminu gam l'shnei ha'osos ha'ela, v'lo yishmun l'kolecha, v'lakachta mimei me'hayor, take from the water of the Nile, v'shafachta ha'yabasha, v'haya ha'mayim asher tikach men ha'yor, v'hayu lidam b'yabashas. It's going to turn to blood. Why is that trick going to work? Why then they're going to start believing in me? The other tricks are also pretty interesting. What was so special about this? This third one will be the one that convinces them why. It's true they only saw a little bit of water turning to blood. But what's it foreshadowing? Mikol makom kvar hi achas me'amakos, asher yakas ha-mitzrim bahem. But this was like the precursor to the Makkah of Dam. In other words, they started to see that, you know what? The Egyptians are actually going to pay for what they did to us. And our suffering is not in vain. And Hashem is aware of what we're going through. And we're about to begin a process of redemption. So just that first little couple of drops of water turning to blood gave them such a chizuk that it lifted that spark of nevuah inside of them. It reawakened that spark of amunah inside of them. And now they're ready to, now we're ready to believe in Moshe. Now we're ready to believe that he's a true prophet who spoke to Hashem. Kishayiru Yisrael as haschalas makas hamitzrim. When the Jewish people saw, got even a taste of the makos, a little taste of dam. Yisro meim rucham. Their spirit was lifted. V'tafug ma'at ha'atzvas shalahem. And it could be maybe something happened that, again, I don't know, maybe, I don't know the historical context of this, but it could be maybe something good happened. Maybe there was like a little sign of hope. Maybe they got a little bit of good news, and the Rebbe is saying, you know, try to fan that coal. You know, try to get that spark burning a little bit brighter. It lifted their sadness. It allowed them to have a little bit of simcha. V'yasigu ma'at simcha. And if you have a little bit of simcha, al yedeza titosif emunasim, then they got a little bit more amuna. And if you get a little more amuna, az gam nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu yaminu. Then they can start to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, not just their own amuna, and that there's actually a God out there who cares about them, but they could believe in the holiness of someone else. They could believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it means. V'zeu v'yar Yisrael asayar gadol asher asa Hashem v'tzayim v'yiru amas Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Says the Rebbe, Oz be'eis yeshu'asam v'simchasam. When they crossed the waters, and they saw once and for all that Hashem was going to get them safely away from Mitzrayim, there was such a feeling of salvation, such a feeling of simcha. She'isigu amuna ba'amitas Hashem. They had such an absolute vadai clarity of amuna and Hashem, and therefore ha'aminu gam b'moshe. If you respect what? If you respect yourself, you respect others. If you believe in that little bit of nevuah that they experienced, Zek Keli Vanveyu, everyone was sort of like a prophet by Kriyas Yamsuf, then of course, Ve'aminu Ba'Hashem Uva Moshe Avdo. They believed in nevuaso. B'chlal, they accepted, generally speaking, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu in a way they had not been prepared to believe prior to that. Okay? So now let's ask a different question, says the Rebbe. And now we're going to talk about the Rebbe himself, because he's the Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu even believe? Good kasha. Meaning the people were so broken, of course they didn't believe, they needed chizuk, so they got a little bit of taste of makas dam, and that revived their spirits, and then they were ready to start believing in themselves, and emotion, Hashem, gevaldik. But let's go into this for a second in a real way. What was Moshe going through? So you're talking about Moshe wasn't a slave in Mitzrayim. Moshe had access to Paro's palace. Moshe was on the top of the list of criminals in Mitzrayim. There were a lot of people who would have liked Moshe to be dead. Moshe Rabbeinu is also a sensitive person who doesn't just look at the entire Jewish people suffering in Mitzrayim and then go back to his hotel room and, you know, comes by the next day for a little diplomacy with Paro's cabinet. Moshe Rabbeinu was probably a very broken person also. Ulechore yesh lishol, says the Rebbe, two paragraphs from the bottom. Ulechore yesh lishol, we need to ask the question. Eich nisgal ha-nevuah le-Moshe Rabbeinu? How did Moshe Rabbeinu himself receive nevuah? We have a rule, ha-la-shras ha-nevuah tzvichim simcha. To receive nevuah, you have to be joyous. U-Moshe Rabbeinu chutz mitzarosav. And in addition to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had his own problems, shebikesh paro lahargo, hayameitzer ma'od b'tzar Yisrael. In addition to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had a warrant for his arrest, right, wanted dead or alive, more than that, how much did Moshe suffer when he felt the pain of the Jewish people? Ki ro'im shekol kach hayameitzer b'sarasim shel Yisrael. He was so terribly pained by the pain of the Jewish people. At sha'amar va'ata. Im tisachat asam, Hashem, if you're not willing to overlook their iniquity, if you are willing to overlook their iniquity, then fine. V'im ayin, but if not, macheni na b'sifracha, asher kasavta. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if the ship sinks, I'm going down with it. So Moshe Rabbeinu was deeply, deeply, deeply pained by the tsar of the Jewish people. He probably cried himself to sleep every night. So where did he find the simcha to be able to communicate with Hashem? So the obvious answer would be is that Moshe was a big tzaddik. He somehow was able to rise above his own pain and the pain of Klal Yisrael to make himself fit for nevuah. So that would be the obvious way to answer it. The Rebbe takes a totally different approach. The Rebbe says in the bottom paragraph, a big chiddush. Aval zeh nira lo Hashem b'pam ha'echa b'sneh. When Hashem first appears to Moshe by the sneh. And Rashi says, why did Hashem appear to Moshe Rabbeinu in a lowly thorn bush? Mishum imo anochi b'tzara. It was an expression of the fact that Hashem suffers with us. Because when Hashem is, so to speak, going through good times, when oz v'chedva b'mkomo, when strength and joy is found in Hashem's place, az yechol le'nevu l'eskalos al nabi rakashu b'simcha. When Hashem's having a good time, so if you want to get nevuah, that means you got to be with Hashem, that means you also have to have a good time. When Hashem's looking to be b'simcha, kiviyachol, if you want to join the party, you also have to show up b'simcha. Masha einkin, look at these next two lines. Masha einkin kiviyachol gam hu imahem b'tzara. V'tzar gam ala novi nizgala af kishahoya b'tzar alehem. Says our Rebbe, but when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is in a state of pain, and the Navi is in a state of pain, then they can meet up there. Why is it that a person has to be in a state of simcha to be with Hashem? Because oz v'ched bavim komo. Because Hashem's place is a place of joy, of strength, of confidence. So if you're weak, sad, and broken, so you can't get a nevuah. But if a Kodesh Baruch Hu joins you in the pain and in the sadness, if that's where Hashem is, so then the Navi can talk to Hashem there also. In other words, what the Rebbe is trying to say to, you know, these children of prophets, right? What the Rebbe is trying to say to us is, I know many of you think that it's impossible for you to be with Hashem right now. Because being with Hashem in a state of joy is all you've ever known. But I want you to learn there's another way to be with Hashem. There's a way of being with Hashem in a state of sadness, and it requires you to believe that Hashem is with you in that sadness and in that pain. It's an amazingly deep idea. Let's just do one more paragraph. With the Gemara Chagiga, where is the source for this idea? The Gemara Chagiga says, "Bebate barai oz v'chadva b'mkomo, bebati gavai mitztaru bocha kiviyachol b'tzaras Yisrael." Hashem, bebate barai, in the outer rooms, in the outer chambers, oz v'chadva b'mkomo. You know, a person can sometimes be going through terrible pain in their heart, and yet they're able to put on a smile. They're able to greet people as if nothing's bothering them at all. So Hashem also, kiviyachol, bibotei barai, in the outer, bar, I told you, bar means outside. In the outer chambers, oz v'chad v'mkomo. Bibotei gavai, but in the inner chambers, top of the next page, mitztar u'bocha kiviyachol b'tzaras Yisrael. But in the inner chambers, Hashem is what? Hashem is crying. Hashem, of course, feels his pain. Feels our pain. He's got to be the king of the world, so he's got to, you know, when he makes a press conference, he's got to put on a good face. But then Hashem goes back to his private room and he cries over our suffering. Kishuhu Yisbarach Mistater Bebote Gavoy. Isha Yisraeli Misyached Imo Sham. Kol Echad Lefi Matzavo. So if you meet Hashem, so to speak, in the private chamber, if you go to that place where Hashem himself is crying over our suffering, and you bring your tzaras there, so instead of, you know, in the outer chambers where you can only for praying with Hashem b'simcha, in the inner chambers you can sit and cry together. V'sham izgal lo Torah v'avoda. And in such a place, what? In such a dark place, there could be a Torah of that place. There's a Torah of suffering. There's an avoda of crying. V'kvar dibarnu, and we've already mentioned how historically true this is. Eich Torah shebal peh nizgal lebegalus. However, where did we get the awesome gift of Shas? Where did we get Torah shebal peh? Where did it thrive? It was thriving in a place called Gullus in Bavel, Talmud Bavli, like it says on the top of every Gemara. What would be Zion? How could you write Talmud Bavli? You want to give kavod to Bavel? Bavel was a hell on earth for the Jewish people. Bavel destroyed the first base of Mikdash. Bavel exiled the Jewish people. Bavel murdered our people. And yet, Dafke, in that exile, Torah flourished. A very deep Torah. Right? A Torah that comes from a dark place. Not only that, think about the Zohar. Says the Rebbe, the Zohar Kadosh, Bitzari Yaser Larishum Bar Yochai, Verbalazar Benom, Vne Pachar Amalchus Oz. Says the Rebbe, and again, not everyone would necessarily say this, you have to realize this is also a Chiddush what he's saying. The Zohar of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when was it composed? Suggests our Rebbe, it was written at the time that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was hiding in the cave, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was suffering in isolation with his son, right? On the surface, a very dark place. He comes out of that place, his body is so broken from that experience, and yet he revealed in that darkness, in that time of oppression, the deepest secrets of the Torah. So the Rebbe is saying to the people, on the one hand, we got to try to be mechazik ourselves. We have to try to tap into a little bit of simcha. We have to try to awaken that spark of nevuah and emunah inside of ourselves. But if you can't, you're still not exempt. Because you can do something even bigger with your sadness. You can make a Torah and an avoda out of your sadness. You can be with Hashem. You can be in the inner chambers where Hashem cries over the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Gedalia Aaron, what did you want to say?
Right. Where we're at, is that connected at all to the natural connection that we have, like through, like the Hashem as a partner? You guys, like when we were talking about the creation of a person, you have that like natural emuna like inside of you, and is it? Because you have that inside of you, Hashem then feels your pain? Or is it just not because Hashem loves the nature?
I hear what you're saying. Maybe to say it like this, is Hashem with us in our pain because Hashem is with us? Right? Meaning
feels their kid's pain because it's their kid no matter what.
Right.
No matter if they have a relationship with them or not.
Right, correct. Meaning is it the fact that the child is, that the parent is within the child, right? I mean, is it the chelak alokami ma'al inside of us? Is it that divine spark inside of us? Right? Is that the part of Hashem that, so to speak, is in pain with us? The part of us, the part, in quotations, of Hashem inside of us is the part that feels the pain. So is that, you know, you're saying, is that synonymous with the source of that amun? And the answer sort of is yes. It sounds like the answer would be yes. Yeah.
You said earlier that,
again, because they were starting to experience the makos. Until they started to see that there's actually going to be, again, the trend has been down, 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 down. Things are getting worse, 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 worse. Our spiritual level is falling. Tumah, 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 all the way to the 49th level of tumah. Right? When are we going to hit the bottom already? You know, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before you can turn yourself around. Okay, but where's the bottom of this pit? That's what's so scary about this gullus. This gullus in the Medrash is compared to the opening of the Chumash. Parishas Bar Elokim, Eis Hashemayim Beis Aretz, Va'aretz Haisa, Sohu, Vavohu, V'choshech, Al Pnei Sohom. So we've said many times. that those four expressions correspond to the four galios, the four exiles. This galus is the galus of Tahom. What does Tahom mean? The depths. The Medrash says it's like this galus, this final galus, is like a bottomless pit. We keep wondering, like, can the world get any lower? Can things get any crazier? And then it does. And you're like, whoa, okay, this has got to be, you know? This has got to be the bottom, you know? At a certain point, there's got to be a reversal, right? Nope. We keep going, it keeps dropping. So the Tahom, which means the deep, dark depths of the sea, right? It's so dark, it's so cold, it's so stifling and lifeless down there. You just like wonder, where is the bottom of this ocean? So that feeling of like, you know, not knowing where it is. But when finally they got a taste of Makas Dam, a little splash, and Moshe Rabbeinu took a little shot glass out of the Nile River and he poured it, and they saw the blood, their neshamas knew, their emunah, that nevuah spark inside of them knew, things are going to change. And now the mitzvah are going to be our slaves. They're going to be buying water from us. And we're going to have the upper hand. And that, just knowing that they're finally going to, again, it would still take a year to get them out of Mitzrayim. But now that the process is reversing itself, Dam, Sardeya, Kinim, Arav, with each step getting better and better and better for the Jews and worse and worse and worse for the Egyptians, they can finally live again. They could believe that they could live again. That's what happened with Makas Dam. And that sign was that first taste of Makas Dam. Right.
But you say the same thing, that in a sense it's an extreme that brings you to a point. It's like a recurring circle. Once you get into the state of Cyrus, then a person's immune of Shus is going to come up and call up Hashem.
Right.
Then Hashem saves him, and then right. You see that Hashem saves him. So it's
and like, hopefully responds to the joy.
It's
right.
Probably necessarily from the same. It's not like saying only in sympathy correct. To Hashem. So you have to actually go through the Cyrus to get
correct.
To the sympathy as well.
Correct. The Zohar says that in a Jewish heart, it says that there's chedva misitra da, there's joy on one side, ubechia misitra da, there's sadness on the other side. Because they're both important. They're both tools to contact Hashem, to communicate with Hashem. Okay? So now the Rebbe says it. He says to the people exactly what they're thinking. V'yesha ish ba'atmo tomal atzmo. I know a person says to himself, halo nishbar ani. I'm a broken person. Hello, Kama'at Tomir Ani B'Matzah Shel Bechia. I spend the whole day crying. V'gam Bocha Kapam B'Pam. And I'm just crying and crying and crying. Utter despair. V'eich Yachol Ani Lil Mo Torah. And given how overwhelmed I am in my life right now, this is not a time for learning. I can't learn. V'ma Ani Mitchazek L'Chadish Torah V'Chasidus. You want me to say Chidushim? You want me to live like a Chassid? V'yesh Pa'amim She'yach Libo Lomar. Sometimes a person is yach, like yakeh, he strikes. He strikes his heart to say, right? He pounds his chest and he says, or metaphorically pounds his chest, Ha'ein zos rak aviras halev bikirbi sheyochol ani leschazek v'lilmod b'tzaroisi v'tzaros Yisrael ha'marubim kolkach. Maybe this is, he almost criticizes himself. He feels like it's cruel to learn at a time like this. People are starving and I'm working on a sugya in Bel Metzia. Is this not just the aviras halev? Abir means like strong. Is this not just the strength of my heart within me that I'm being mechazik myself at a time of such horrible suffering and tzaris? Vishuv yashiv la'atzma halonish parani. And then he says back and says, oh, and who am I kidding? As if I have the strength to do anything. I myself am broken. My whole life is shattered and dimmed. Navuchu oso ha'ish al atzmo. This person is so down on himself. Aval kanizkar le'el. But says the Rebbe, there's an avoda of serving Hashem in a state of utter depression. There's a way. It's different. It's a different type of avoda than when you're happy. But there's a learning you can do when you don't want to learn. There's a davening you can do when you don't want to daven. There's an emunah you can have when you feel like you don't have emunah. Hu yizbach nimtza v'batei gavayu bocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is with you crying in that inner chamber. Umi shidoichach umiskarev elav b'torah. So when I push my way into that inner room, oz bocha hu sham im HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gam lo me Torah ima. What a beautiful line. He cries with Hashem, and he sits there and he learns Torah with Hashem. He learns the Torah of Gullis, which, by the way, is called Talmud Bavli. He learns the Torah of a dark and scary cave while you're being hunted by the Romans. By the way, the name of that Torah is called Zohar, shining. It's illuminating. How did such a great light come from such a dark place? V'zeh l'achila. And this is the distinction. Habachios v'atzar sha'odem etzar ba'atzmo livado al tzarosov. The crying that a person does. How do you know if your tears are holy tears? Do your tears give you strength or do your tears weaken you? He says when a person cries over his own pain, if he cries and cries and cries and feels worse, right? So then he's not crying with Hashem. But when a person has, you know, we sometimes call it a good cry, and then they feel better. When a person cries, and they do so as a way of what? As a way of trying to really be in the moment with the Creator of the universe. Machzikim oso. He cries, but he draws strength from those tears. He's bocha umischazik. He's nishvar, he's broken, but he's umisames lomor v'lavor. He cries it out, he screams it out with Hashem, and then he's ready to learn, he's ready to daven, he's ready to go weiter. Picks himself up. Says the Rebbe, I'm not saying this is easy, where it's bolded. Koshahu raklis romein pam harishona v'ashniyam eratzaros. The Rebbe says, like anything that you've never done before, it's very daunting. It's very overwhelming. It's filled with all sorts of anxieties. The first time, the second time, where you try to pick yourself up, you feel like, I can't, I'm too broken. Says the Rebbe, Aval kishemis ameit umoishit esrosho. When a person strengthens himself, and he extends himself, he lifts his head, v'nogeya b'tora ve'avoda, and he tries, even though he's terrified to open that sitter, because he feels like he doesn't know how to anymore, he doesn't know how to open the Gemara anymore. He walks into a room, and what does he see there? He feels, I'm not alone. I'm in the inner chamber. Hashem is there as well. And I sit there and I cry and I talk to Hashem amidst the tears. And I start to learn with Hashem. And the learning is a different type of learning. Right? I cry it out, I talk it out, I scream it out. But I draw strength from that, and I'm able to be a Jew. Hayotze lano midvarenu. So says the Rebbe in conclusion, this very long, beautiful Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh essay. Says the Rebbe, what emerges from all of our words, midvarenu, shakedusha asher banu be'achreich me'avosenu. The bottom line is, every Jew is a holy person. We have it implanted within us from our avos. He built the noda banu. We sometimes fail to realize it. But only when we work on ourselves and we're willing to try hard, whether it's with smiles or with tears, that's also called working on yourself. It reveals itself to us. There's a spark of prophecy in us. There's a natural state of love that a Jew has. I don't know what it means to love God. You do know what it means. In your heart, you do know. You don't know how to feel that love. There's an amuna amitas hui, shenargish osa, vesavadosh. There's a certainty, a confidence you have as a Jew. Even if on the surface you say, I don't know what I believe. I don't know. I don't see, you know, myself as being a holy person or a deeply connected Jew. You need to know that even when you don't feel it, you are a mamin. It's not a choice. At our Sinai, it wasn't a choice. Hashem said, I am Hashem, your God. Hashem didn't say, do you want me to be your God? Hashem didn't say, I command you to believe in me. Hashem said, I am Hashem, your God. You do believe in me. And we nodded along, because we do. But since you haven't added to it, you don't feel it, the Rebbe says. And now the Rebbe concludes with one distinction. We've been talking about Ava, and Yira, and Amuna, and Nevua, and Kedusha. But now there is, I want to draw one distinction between what? Between Ava and Amuna. Okay? To show you that Amuna goes even deeper than Ava. Aval zeh hachiluk b'chlal bein Ava l'Amuna. Let's talk out, says the Rebbe, in conclusion, one final point, the distinction between love and faith. Ava l'Hashem kishu margish l'chelak halokus shenimshach b'kirbo. loving Hashem requires a little bit more of drawing it out to the surface. It's very hard to love something you don't know about at all. Part of the reason I love my wife so much is because I know her so well. I love my children because I know who they are. That Jew on the other side of the world who I've never met before, yeah, I love him, Abbas Yisrael, you know, Haftal Arecha, Kamocha. I don't know him. I don't know what we have in common. I don't know what we disagree about. I haven't seen, you know, he's never made me laugh or smile or you know, challenge me to be my best self, like my family members, like the people who are in my inner circle or in my world. The guys in the shir who I've gotten to know, you know, it's a different connection because we know each other. The more we get to know each other, the more hopefully there's a feeling of love, there's a feeling of respect. Right? So being able to love Hashem requires a person to tap into that, to know it. You should love Hashem, your God, to the degree that Hashem feels like He's your God. To the degree that I know it and I own it, and I feel connected to it. Because something that's not in front of me, that's hidden from me, how do I love something I don't even know about? Right? Do you love the taste of this food? Do you love the taste of this exotic fruit? I have no idea. I never tasted it. I don't know if I love it. I have to experience it to know if I'm connected to it. And Muna, says the Rebbe on the final page, Masha ein kein Muna. Av zo shemargish. Yes, Muna also is something that we try to feel and can feel, and we try to work to feel. But adrab, Muna is a bechinas elukis shalamali mimenu. The very nature of Muna is what? Is that it's a experience of Hashem that is bigger than me, that it's above me. I believe in something beyond my grasp. Ava, the more I grasp it, the more I love it. The more I connect to it, right? The more I can nurture that connection. But Emuna, the very nature of Emuna is that I'm connecting to something which, by definition, is bigger than me. Kizeu ikra Emuna, that's the essence of Emuna. Sheyamin mashal amala mehasagaso, to believe in that which transcends my understanding. So now the Rebbe says, and now he's going to take us back to Mitzrayim, get us out of Mitzrayim one last time. The Rebbe says, so when you love, love is sometimes what? Very personal and very limiting. I hope, Amir Tzashem, and I expect that you love your family more than you love my family, and I love my family more than I love your family. It creates a certain division, because love is about what I know and about who I'm with. Emuna, because it asks all of us to go to a place that none of us really understand, it goes above anything that any of us can grasp. So in that place, in that space, we're all equally there. I don't know and you don't know. Now there may be a distinction between what I don't know or what I feel I don't grasp and what you feel you don't grasp. But there's a level of, we just don't know. None of us know. So when a person mechazik himself in Emuna, he's miskalel yoser gamim klal yisrael. He goes to that space, that collective space, because Ava creates a certain pirud. Right? I love vanilla, you love chocolate. Right? We both love ice cream, so there's a common ground, but we each have our favorite. But in Emuna, when we enter that space of not knowing, of something bigger than ourselves, we're all there equally, on a certain level. Kevan shezosi aliyah mina pratius. We transcend the details. Umina avoda pratis. Emuna is not, you know, your tefillin versus my tefillin. Emuna is our collective belief in Hashem. Min b'chinas elokecha. We go above that place called v'ahavta es Hashem elokecha, your God. Each of us has our own personal God, our own relationship with God. Shekol chad mishar belibo ba'ava yira v'asaga. We each have our own degree of love, our own degree of awe, our own degree of grasping of what we think we understand or what we do understand. Lebechinas elokeinu. We go above that to a place called elokeinu, our God, not elokecha. We go to a place called elokeinu. Shelamal mikol atmosenu v'asaga asenu. We go to that collective place of the Jewish root. Nishmas Yisrael, v'kolo kulanu yachad kulam, and we're united there. So, Chaver, now let's think about this for a second. When we stood at Har Sinai, we stood there ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Getting to Har Sinai, of course, is the culmination of leaving Mitzrayim. which means that if Har Sinai were praised for being a united people, it must be that we need to unite to get out of Mitzrayim. And that's actually what we find in the Medrash. When they started caring about each other, the Medrash says, they got out of Mitzrayim. That's what it says in one Medrash. That's not the Medrash the Rebbe is about to quote. There is a Medrash that says, when they started to help each other, instead of, I'll do my homework and you'll do your homework, I'll study for the test by myself, you'll study for the test by yourself. But when we make a chabura and we say, you know, let's study together. You have a quota of bricks that you're trying to fulfill for Paro. I have a quota of bricks that you're trying to fulfill for Paro. Let's help each other out. Let's help each other out. I always come back to that snowy day in Bergenfield when I was walking to shul and I saw two Jewish guys who live right next to each other, each one shoveling their own driveway. And I said, Chevra, I'm not one to tell people what to do, but I think you should switch. You have the same size driveway. You're doing the same amount of work. If he shovels your driveway and you shovel his driveway, then you get chesed the whole time. You get the mitzvah the whole time. Right now, you're just helping yourself. Just switch. You bring a chair for me, I'll bring a chair for you. Right? We both have a chair to sit on. Take care of each other. So pashut. So we both have to make 100 bricks for Paro. So I'll make 100 bricks for you, and you make 100 bricks for me. And then Hashem will say, look how my children love each other. Let's get them out of here. But part of connecting, where else can we connect besides that degree of concern for each other, of no se ba'olim chaveiro, and that was a big part of getting out of Mitzrayim, another way to do that is what? Is through Amuna. Because Amuna is the common denominator in all of us. The yechidah sheba nefesh, the deepest part of the soul, which we learned a lot about before Purim, that's the common denominator by every Jew, that baseline by every Jew. Uvishema Yisrael. And therefore, when we get to the paragraph after Shema, it's love Hashem, your God. V'avta eis Hashem lokecha. We love Hashem, should love Hashem, your God. But in Shema Yisrael, in the lead-off statement of Amuna, right, when we cover our eyes, not even being able to see a distinction between a Yekusiel and an Azi, or a Moshe and a David, when we close our eyes and everything just becomes one, Shema Yisrael, she ikr hezgalas Amuna omrim Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, what do we say? Hashem Elokeinu. Our collective God. Hashem Shalanu Kulanu Hashem Echad. That God that we all share. Uveshah Shaklal Yisrael Tzarech Li Yeshua. Iker Hazchus Shemevias Yeshua Hi Amuna. So the Rebbe says, a different Medrash, when the Jewish people need Yeshua, what's the main thing that gets us out? Says the Medrash, Amuna. Lo Nig'olu Yisrael Mitzrayim El Bischus Amuna. Right? Which is also why Bischus Noshim Tzirkanios Shabbosu Ador, in the merit of the Jewish women, we got out of Mitzrayim, because where do we get our Amunah from? Our mothers. Our Judaism comes from our mothers. That's why Aim is a lashon of Amunah, Ima. Va'alma Titzak Elai Dabriel B'nei Yisrael V'Yisau Perish Rashi Kedai Hu Zchus Avosayim V'Heim. The Zchus Avos and their own Zchuyos. Va'amunah She'aminu Bi V'Yatzu. The Amunah that they had in me to leave Mitzrayim, that was enough. L'kro lehem hayam. The Amunah was the thing that finally got us out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So Amunah is even, you know, it's the ultimate. Above Ava, above Yira, above the Kedusha, that is also dormant inside of all of us. And we try to nurture, but when we nurture that, sometimes it becomes Elokecha. But Amunah, on the level of Amunah, that common denominator, it's Elokeinu. It's that collective God that we serve together. So now, what's the gematria of Elokeinu?
I'm saying it with a
hey. Yeah, not Elokeinu, with a hey. What's the gematria of Elokeinu? Hundred and two is gematria emuna. 102 is the same gematria as the word emuna. Right? Because the expression of our emuna is not where you have your God and I have my God. Elokecha. It's also very important. But Elokeinu. Elokeinu is the gematria emuna. That's what they're saying. Because when we get to a place of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, where we share the one God, that common denominator, that's where Geula takes place. Okay? So now let's go back. Yeah, Azir, ask the Kasha, and then we'll go back to our opening question from yesterday at 9:45. Yeah.
We're saying that Amuna got us out of Mitzrayim, but isn't it like the only before
left the course of stay because it didn't lack the last time that they said that they didn't think they would be able to live, they left and survive.
So what are you asking?
I have
my pshat on that. I told you my pshat on that once, I think, though. Now, what does it mean that 4/5 of the Jews died in Mitzrayim and 1/5 got out? It's not talking about, it's not, it can't be. It can't be that 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died in Mitzrayim and 1 out of 5 got out. It means there's 5 parts of the soul. Their nefesh died in Mitzrayim, their ruach died in Mitzrayim, their neshama died in Mitzrayim, their chaya died in Mitzrayim, but the yechidah of a nefesh, the deepest part of the soul, right, which we learned about, which is exactly this. The Amunah that cannot be erased, that part got out of Mitzrayim. In other words, every Jew got out of Mitzrayim, but 4/5 of his soul was destroyed by the Egyptians. But he kept that spark alive, and then we came out, and then we slowly rebuilt ourselves. We rebuilt our nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai. And we got out only with 1/5 of our soul intact, but that's the part that can't be touched. Power can't destroy it. So friends, let's go back to our opening question, the same question we asked all week. What is the connection between Achodesh Hazeh Lachem and prepare the Karban Pesach? And here the Rebbe gives a final charge to the people. 1942. Nisan of 1942. Right, approaching Nisan of 1942. Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz Av Elul Tishrei Cheshvan. Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out. The Rebbe died in 43. But I get so confused between the Hebrew calendar and the English calendar. Rebbe, it says there, the Rebbe died in 43. But this is still in Dalet Cheshvan, Tavshin Dalet. This is still, no, so we still have time. I'm very confused. Tavshin Dalet is 44 by the English calendar, but Tavshin Dalet of Cheshvan would still be like, would still be the end of 43.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm getting confused. How far are we from the Rebbe's end? That's the part that confuses me.
5, 6, 9.
Meaning are we 6 months before the Rebbe dies, or we're a year and a half before the Rebbe dies? Where's the Torah from Tavshin Gimel? What happened the following year? I'm not sure. I'm a little confused by this. But the Rebbe ends with a charge to the people, right, who again, whose lives are hanging in the balance, and he's begging them to have Amunah as we approach the Yom Tov of Amunah. V'hine Yisrael b'mitzrayim ha'aminu. Right? Yeah.
In a concentration camp.
Tavshin Dalet.
Yeah.
And this is Nisan of. So that's a year and a half still.
Yeah.
So where? What happened to all of Tavshin Gimel?
Well,
deportations. It says died in the trial.
It seems like the. I feel like we're missing the time. I feel like we're messing up the timeline. That's the part I'm not understanding. What happens here? What happens? Here we have the biography in the back. Let's see, what does it say? Okay, Be'erev Pesach Tavshin Gimel. That's already the Nazis. So where does this end? Purim Tavshin Aleph. So when was that? The last thing we have here is what?
Shabbos
Chazon. Right, the Shabbos Chazon.
Which is what?
But that's Tavshin. That's Tavshin Beis.
Right.
So where was all of Tavshin Gimel?
I think it was liquidated in the spring before.
Yeah. Is it possible that this has to do with the fact that not all of his things were done?
The ghetto was
for sure.
Or he wasn't writing
it. Also, I don't know. Okay, let's finish the piece. So the Rebbe says the Jewish people undoubtedly had Amunah in Mitzrayim. So what happened with the Karban Pesach? Why was the Karban Pesach so significant? Because the Karban Pesach, as everyone knows from the time we were little kids, right? The Egyptians, they worshipped the Shepselah. So when you took their god and you tied it to your bedpost and you said, we're going to slaughter it in 4 days' time, that was a very bold statement. That was in Amunah with Mesiras Nefesh. Hine Yisrael Mitzrayim Haminu. Aval ba'asur lachodesh, kishalachu ha-kivosim lizvoach la-Hashem le'enei Mitzrayim, when they took their gods and prepared to slaughter them before the eyes of the Egyptians, ha'isa emuna b'mesiras nefesh. Says the Rebbe, this was a different type of emuna. This was an emuna that what? That hurt. Emuna that could cost them their lives. Emuna that was very scary. K'mo sha'amar Moshe Rabbeinu, hein nizvach es-tovas Mitzrayim le'eneim v'lo yiskalunu. We're going to slaughter the abomination of Egypt, which means the god of the Egyptians, before their eyes. Are they not going to stone us to death? And nonetheless, when it hurt, they did it. And by the way, it didn't cost them their life, it saved their lives. So the Rebbe is saying, I know it's hard for us to believe right now, certainly to believe so with confidence. L'chein, kitzuratza Hashem ligalos reishis ha-Torah l'moshe Rabbeinu mitzari shona shenistava b'Yisrael. So we're about to get the first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim. V'noda b'mayim et ar Sinai, e'chuzku Yisrael l'hachin asm l'Torah. And we know that in preparation for Mayim et ar Sinai, there was tremendous preparation. But we're already getting mitzvahs before we got to ar Sinai. We got a mitzvah in Mitzrayim. It's called HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. We got Moshe Rabbeinu Sha'olah v'nigash al ha'raf al asher shom elokim. When Moshe goes up the mountain, chut min alios kitshu. The Jewish people spent a tremendous amount of time making themselves zach, preparing themselves, purifying themselves, getting themselves ready to receive the word of Hashem. So therefore the question is, ve'eich taschil kabbalas haTorah me'atav Mitzrayim, ve'eich yisku l'gul of Yeshua. But if they're on such a low level in Mitzrayim, so how are they going to get that first mitzvah? And how are they going to be worthy of redemption? So in conjunction with the first mitzvah, Hashem says, I'm ready to give you the first mitzvah. I'm ready to give you HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. But Nasan Lahem Hashem mitzvah ba'asur. But Hashem says, the way for you to really receive that, right? That's the mitzvah I want to give you. But the prerequisite is what? Is Amunah b'mesiras nefesh. Val yidei zezachu l'reishas haTorah v'geula. And in that moment, when they accepted upon themselves to prepare the Karban Pesach with mesiras nefesh, they got the first mitzvah of Torah. It put into motion, again, the wheels of Geula, v'lachein shneim yachad nemru, and therefore back to back, two psukim. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, we're going to start fresh. We're going to rebuild ourselves. We're going to get back to the way things can be, ideally, right? But it's going to take what? It's going to take v'asur l'chodesh, taking on the 10th of the month, a Karban Pesach. Take their god and be prepared to what? With mesiras nefesh, to tie it to your bed and to shecht it before their eyes and to eat it and to free yourselves from Mitzrayim. HaChodesh Hazeh Mitzvah Rishona B'Ba'asur LaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first mitzvah, is connected to the courage of Ba'asur LaChodesh. Ayidei Sheyakablu Aleihem Ba'asur LaChodesh Vayikchu. By taking the Karban Pesach, that will nurture that emunah and lead to the geula and the process of mitzvos, of ischachos, of renewal, becoming the lofty Jewish people that we are, had begun. Okay, so tremendous yisodos. In Rosh Chodesh comes first because that's the first mitzvah. Hashem says the first mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh, and then in parentheses after, oh by the way, in order to receive this, I'm going to ask you for some mesiras nefesh. So that's why right after Hashem says, prepare yourself a Karban Pesach.
So by preparing it
on the 10th, so
you're like retroactively elevating it, or
you're like
signing
it beforehand.
Right, I hear what you're saying. I'm giving you this Rosh Chodesh, and here's for you to be able to really receive this. Here's, you know, read the fine print. The fine print is Mesiras Nefesh for Amunah is going to begin that process of mitzvos and everything that, you know, and everything that's yet to come.
It's like a commitment.
It's a commitment, right. Exactly.
It's also like very classic that Hashem is giving us more of a gift before we even earn it.
Right. Right, I'm giving this to you. And here's what I ask of you. Yeah. Wow. Really tremendous yesodos in the hidden amun of a Jew. And being able to cry with Hashem. To cry with Hashem and to get strength. Not to feel weakened by, if you're crying by yourself, you're going to feel weak. You're going to feel alone in the world. Cry with Hashem, you cry out to Hashem, right, you become strengthened by that. And then you can make a Talmud Bavli, you can make a Zohar, right? You can open your Siddur again. You can open your Gemara again. You don't feel like an outsider. Hashem says, I'll sit with you. We'll sit here together. We'll work through it together. Imo anochi b'tzara. It's amazing. Yeah.